Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one here on Cody and Gold, the NBA, which has its season currently suspended, as we all know, have been in discussions with players, the Players Association, on whether or not withholding pay needs to happen if the regular season games ultimately gets canceled. Now, that is, in their mind, worst-case scenario, obviously. They are still planning on playing games at some point in resumption of some part of the regular season and ultimately the playoffs. But they're discussing scenarios for withholding up to 25% of players' remaining salaries in a league escrow should the games eventually be canceled. I have zero issue with this whatsoever. Currently, I guess, through the CBA, players lose 1% of their salary per canceled game. So if they have to cancel 20 games, 20%, that's where they're coming up with like the 25% of player salary in escrow.
Well, and I can't blame them for doing that, just based on player salary is a lot different than when we were talking about the stadium workers.
Sure.
Needing pay, that's a lot different. Most of these players are going to be able to withstand this for some time, or should be able to withstand this for at least a little bit of time, as the NBA is still hoping eventually they'll get some part of their schedule in. I imagine that's per canceled game. The idea is still the NBA will get in action, play as many games as they can. They'll still get the check for those games, and everything will move on happy. But I understand why, if there aren't players playing, they're going to need to work it out. They can also do it the way baseball did, try to work out a separate deal. Baseball obviously gave their players $170 million total, which is, again, just a little under $6 million per team to distribute while they wait this thing out. NBA can work on something like that if it looks like it's going to extend further down the road.
I wonder why the NBA hasn't had the issue that, you know, minor leagues for baseball, but the NBA has the G League. I know the dynamics are different with roster sizes.
Very.
You know, and the
why community. Haven't we heard about
yeah,
how they're going to pay them?
And I know yeah. The contracts are different, but interesting how we haven't had that issue pop up quite as much.
No, you'd think you'd be hearing about it. Also, they get paid way more than baseball minor
sure.
leaguers.
No doubt, no doubt.
Way more than those guys. Number two for Watch Trading, Marcus Garrett is named Naismith Defensive Player of the Year for Kansas. That's not national champion, Marcus Garrett. The team never played in the postseason. Most people thought him as Ibuka would both have a real decent crack at this thing. If Garrett plays more seasons at Kansas, this might be his only Defensive Player of the Year candidacy. But if you watched him play, honestly, I'm not a Kansas fan. I didn't go to Kansas like you did. Marcus Garrett is pretty damn deserving a Defensive Player of the Year.
Absolutely. I mean, it was ridiculous that he ended up on, I think, conference third team. And yet he's the National Defensive Player of the Year. That just tells you how out of whack that Big 12 conference all-conference team was. But you're right. He has a chance to do a back-to-back seasons. A very good chance to that. He was the best defensive player, as we all learned today, officially, in college basketball on the team that finished number one in the country as well. Number three on What's Trending, the Raiders. That would be the Las Vegas Raiders. Reportedly are talking with Justin Herbert. Ian Rappaport saying, because we know we don't have the pre-draft visits, that they have been doing FaceTiming and other methods of video calls with potential draftees. The latest, Oregon quarterback Justin Herbert. We know they got Derek Carr. We know they got former Oregon quarterback Marcus Mariota now as the number two quarterback, or at least is the competition for
God,
Derek Carr
is
out there.
Addict needs his fix. He's got to get as many quarterbacks in his conversation as possible.
Hey,
you're not still shooting that ESPN thing, Gruden. You don't have to talk to nine quarterbacks.
There's nothing wrong with this whatsoever. This is smart.
Well, they just don't bring in Mariota. Just draft a quarterback.
Well, just because they're having a video conference with Herbert. We know teams do visits and stuff with guys they have no intention of drafting, or at least they just want to see. They just want to find out.
That guy's high enough above them in the draft. If you're going to waste a video call on Justin Herbert, people are projecting him in the top 10. How far up would the Raiders have to draft?
Is there a same limit on visits? If there's no visits,
yes.
There are limits on video calls?
Yeah.
How are they keeping track of this? Let's be real for a second.
You have to report who you talk to.
How are they supposed to know that I can hit two buttons and FaceTime call you right now? How do they know I FaceTimed you?
It's the honor system.
Okay. You tell me there's no cheating with that going on.
Well, I didn't say that. Right. I just said it's the honor system.
Like, John Gruden could be chilling at home and be like, hey, I know we talked to you earlier. I got one more question for you. He'd be sitting on his couch FaceTiming Herbert right away.
I mean, we did see that. Didn't mean anything, though, that when Tom Brady was FaceTiming with Vrabel. Yes, obviously they can FaceTime other people, but they'd have to trade up a decent amount to get Herbert, I feel like. So if you're going to
have a conversation
with him, you better be dead serious, or at least considering. They currently pick
at
12.
That's where you
last mock draft had him going at 6 to the Chargers.
That's where you get in a conversation. You trade Derek Carr to somebody on draft day.
Who the hell's trading for Derek Carr's albatross in a contract?
I don't know.
What dumb team's doing that? The Texans already have a quarterback. I just say that. Number 4 for what's trending. Wimbledon has been canceled for the first time since World War II. They stated that this would normally be about the time of year they would be expected to be getting the facilities ready for such a large tournament. Knowing that UK is still shut down due to coronavirus, they obviously can't get those people in place, making it incredibly difficult to allow that to take place. So Wimbledon canceled for the first time since World War II. Man, I know every event shouldn't be like, God, that's canceled. Because the NCAA March Madness was the first, like, dear God. Like, they're canceling that? And in Major League Baseball, you're like, oh, this is everything. So I'm not stunned Wimbledon got canceled, but soon to hear Wimbledon's not going to go on is weird.
It's that, and even tomorrow would have been Royals home opener to start the 2020 season. But when you hear for the first time since World War II for any event, that that puts things in perspective. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Coming up at 12:30, we'll talk with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, brought to you by Unlimited RV. Get his thoughts on what Major League Baseball is doing for the minor leaguers, and does he think games should end at a tie, or can Major League Baseball get creative to prevent extra innings when you're trying to squeeze in as many games as possible? Do you get rid of extra innings altogether? Do you cap them? Do you have runners in scoring position? We'll get his thoughts on some of the dynamics that are at play there at 12:30. We're also about 8 minutes away from Joe Buck, who was talking about...
He was doing some play-by-play
for people about a week or so ago. And I thought the videos have been great. I think the videos have been fantastic for it. Well, he's run into maybe a little bit of an issue with that. We'll explain in just a little bit. Just a little bit of a hiccup going on there. But whenever sports starts back up, how do you do it? If you're any of these leagues, if you get the go-ahead even for a particular window of time to start it up, but then the worry that a month down the road, whether it's a player testing positive or getting into the winter months, let's say coronavirus does come back, there's some experts that think there's a chance that could be the case. Not necessarily at the same level, but who knows? Nobody knows the exact answer to that. So does that worry you that you could have for that week or two or month or 2 months or 3 months, you get back to sports, no fans maybe, but you at least have NFL on TV or college football or the NBA playoffs going on, but then it could just all end like that immediately, and then you're back to square one with this, and the rest of the season ultimately just gets canceled. There might be some people thinking, well, at least I got 3 months of it, or at least I got a week of it, at least I got 2 weeks of it, instead of it being shut down forever. But I think there's a lot of liability there, and I think if you start it, you need to have a pretty good, solid understanding and feeling from experts that are knowledgeable about the situation that there's a very little risk of it getting shut down. I don't want it brought back if you're going to be just taking it away from me again in a week.
My concern, I don't want that either. I get kind of torn. It's just like any other sport or any other situation we're in with this is how safe is safe? Because it's not going to be gone. By the time sports start, it's not going to be gone. So how safe is safe? Well, that's a difficult line in the sand. Part of me just says what you say. Wait. Wait as long as you can. And then wait as long as you can and bring everybody back all together. Fans can come back. But if you do that, you are legitimately risking entire season. Like, I'm not sure if you wait as long as you think you might have to, we will see baseball this year. I think football would start late. College sports could be gone. And maybe for selfish reasons, although I've been very cautious. I've been just sitting at home. The only person I see is you and my wife and kids.
Are you sick of me yet?
I legitimately see. Nah, we're used to hosting
your
together.
Your wife sick of me yet?
Honestly, we might see each other less because we used to like talk after the show in
the
station.
I do leave pretty quick, yeah.
Yeah, and you usually take off pretty quick. Partially because like I have things to do because like now I'm at the house. So if you want to sit around, we could just, like, sit in this basement.
I know, I'm at your house enough early enough in the morning, I feel like for your wife's sake and stuff, I can leave as soon as possible.
We can text.
Yeah.
So part of me is, like, for the selfish reasons of wanting to get back to normal life just like anyone else, I don't want to rush it. But I do think that there's a way. These leagues have so much money, so many resources, can supply an outlet that other people can't. I think there is a way they can do it smart. And not putting people at any more risk than they would be in everyday life by quarantining themselves with their family inside their home. So I think that they can reduce the risk so minimally that I kind of hope it comes back sooner. But I am admittedly more fearful that what happens there is we start back up, the leagues are going for a month, and one player, just one player tests positive for one team. And you Kevin Bacon this thing 6 degrees back to all 30 baseball teams, and you find yourself like, well, crap. We can't just be like, well, your team has to forfeit every game while you're under quarantine. Your guy shouldn't have gotten sick. Because then you got to do it for the team who doesn't have someone sick who they just played and every other team they were in contact with over the last week. You just have to shut down the league again for 2 weeks. I am fearful of that. I am hoping they can bring sports back. But that's the most petrifying part of all of it for me is it starts and then it stops again.
It's tricky as well, clearly, because this is so unprecedented. But also, let's not forget, for these professional leagues, looking at the NFL, just because the NFL wants to go ahead, it's not up just to the NFL if the games are going to start. There's a ton of things at play. It is, there's the NFLPA, who we just saw the news a day or so ago. They have formed their own panel, if you will, or task force of experts for them to get the information that they want. Because I don't think we're, based on CBA negotiations and everything else, we realize if the NFLPA, they're not going to just rely on the NFL using their experts to decide if it's safe to play games again. They're going to have their own people. The NFLPA wants to make sure that, hey, the players aren't being pushed into a circumstance of, essentially being forced to play. And I understand they would be getting paid millions of dollars, but the NFLPA wants to make sure they are making sure that this isn't a rush decision just because the NFL owners want their money and games to start up, that the NFLPA, the experts they have, and the NFL's experts both believe it's right. And let's also mention, it may not even be up to both of those. It might be, is the government, that local entity in each of these cities, for example.
Yeah, how are they doing the shutdown orders?
Allowing you to even have events going on, fans or not, but even gathering of the NFL players, a social gathering of 100 guys on the sideline, with personnel, is still a social gathering, whether you have fans or in the stands or not.
It's hard, because I imagine this is just like anything else, that they could probably be granted immunity, essentially, on this. Like, Mayor Lucas had said that he had sent out a notice to 200 businesses who were still operating, although that there was a...
Yeah, citations, yeah.
But, like, he also said today on 41 that, they're closing all dog parks, putting up barricades in some parks, putting things like hanging caution tape on kids' playground equipment, not making it punitive, as in he's not going to cite people for trying to go near these places. But because people keep using these things, he's got to do something to stop it.
Oh, I thought you were talking about businesses, because some businesses...
Businesses is what I was talking about in the first place. But so I would think, even granted that, because of the resources sports leagues have, we can pretend like we all play in the same. Like, you can't go to the park. Like, I can't take my kid to playground equipment. I haven't been, and I wouldn't. But if you wanted to, they're not going to allow you to do that inside the Kansas City metro area now, or they're going to make it a whole hell of a lot harder for you to do it than it was before. But they don't play in the same rules. Sports leagues don't play in the same rules, so much of which because they have the financial resources and the economic impact and distraction impact that a lot of people kind of enjoy. And I know that that's stupid because, yes, man, I work in sports. It's kind of a weird career, and it's all fake and not super important, and I understand that in the scheme of life where sports land in, like, level of importance. I really do. But they do. The reason why you and I love sports is because of the distraction that they possess. I do genuinely fear that we start it and then it stops again. And then how long does it stop the second time? Does it have to be longer than the first time? So let's say baseball starts June 1st. That means baseball would have missed all of April,
by the way,
of May.
Sign me up for that right now because I don't think that's going to happen. So like, if you were telling me June 1st was the date,
But do they shut down? Does it have to be 2 months again?
I think it's a lot more devastating if they try to rush this thing and then have to shut it down again.
Yes.
Like, we already saw this happen in China with their basketball league. Like they've tried to get up and going again to immediately stop because they were like, okay, we don't have control of this. And it happened with their movie industry too, because the movie industry, like, half of the worldwide box office is in China because they have so many movie theaters and the population is so massive. So it's devastating to the film industry when they can't open movie theaters in China, which is why they tried to rush the movie theater industry back into operation, and it lasted less than a week, and they immediately closed it again.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll talk with Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, about the changes for baseball and get his perspective on that exact question that we just asked you all as well. Are you kind of more afraid of restarting sports back up? Or how it goes if someone then tests positive after you get going on that. Someone that obviously is not calling any sports right now, no sports to call, is Joe Buck. And a week or so ago, I thought he came up with a good idea. Some of the videos have been awesome. He's asked people to send him videos on Twitter, and then he'll give play-by-play of your everyday life.
Like, send him several of my kids. You know, no response from Joe Buck.
Uh-oh.
That's fine.
So, you know, it could be your kids playing in the backyard. It could be you throwing darts. It can be you doing anything. And some of the videos, they've been entertaining, and it's been good. Props to Joe Buck for doing that. Apparently, though, maybe some people are taking it a little too far. This was Joe Buck on KMOX Radio in St. Louis.
I've had a couple of submissions from, let's say, a man and a woman that just didn't seem appropriate to put my voice to at this stage of my life, maybe later in life, but not now. So I look at these videos very carefully, and I pick the ones that seem the most wholesome to put my voice to.
I love how Joe Buck is like, maybe later in life. All right, he was being very nice about it, the way he said it. Talking about people were basically sending him, we assume, some adult videos wanting him to narrate their sex tape. First of all, why are you sending it to anybody?
He's not even the best broadcaster to send it to. Give me Marv Albert. Bang! Like, if you're going to do it, let's do it. Like, if someone is going to do your sex tape, it might as well be someone who's better at it.
Marv Albert's at the top of the list there. Gus Johnson, he just won, like, pure excitement. He already sounds like when
depends
he calls basketball.
I think it would depend on the type of sex you're having, wouldn't it? Like, Gus Johnson got to be for a particular type of sex. You'd really have to negotiate this depending on the
style?
Look, sex comes in different forms. Let's not be children.
Sure, yeah. I think Gus Johnson, if there's a lot of energy involved. Then Gus Johnson may be the best option for this. Marv Albert would just be great because, as you mentioned,
who's your slow pace guy? Al Michaels? That's when, like, the candles are lit and the Al Green's on?
Jim Nance.
Jim Nance.
I mean, we know how he calls it. Mike Breen? Was that Mike Breen?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think.
Win? Yes! LeBron James at the buzzer!
That's the most fitting one, I think.
I don't, like, I'm just trying to decide, like, I feel like it would have to be appropriate for an announcer. I guess I'll take your suggestions at 69306. Nance is the candle-lit Al Green on, huh?
Yeah, I think Nance is a little more passionate. A little more passionate.
Soothing.
Yeah, I think that'd be more Jim Nance.
Oh, God. Gus Johnson would be such a runaway freight train. I feel like I couldn't keep up the level of energy he would be supplying to the play-by-play.
As you said, it would have to fit a specific video.
Yeah. Pocket goes down the field for Smith. Oh, he got it! Smith, touchdown, 85 yards!
Tell me that couldn't be interesting.
My God. I can't believe people are actually sending in this stuff online. I mean, I can, but I try not to actually think about that. Because the idea of hearing all the different play-by-plays.
Text line 69306. A couple people saying Chris Berman. Imagine the nicknames he'd come up with as well.
Oh, no, because if he gave you a bad nickname for something, you'd be stuck with it. You'd just be
stuck with it. Rumbling, bumbling. It would be. He could have some.
Rumbling, bumbling. What do you get to?
Oh, talk about Chris Berman when he says the play-by-play.
I know, but
his calls. I'm just thinking of his calls on on when he's done NFL primetime.
Just the rumble and bumbling part was like,
well, yeah,
not, I don't think that's how this is done.
No, Dick Vitale, someone's saying. Be a lot of excitement with that.
Nah, I think that'd be creepy.
He feels like he'd be the guy, the right guy for like fetish stuff, right?
Someone says Bill.
I don't know why I'd say that.
Bill Raftery. Bill Raftery. Some onions.
You have to admit, Bill Russell would be funny. Like outside of the play-by-play, you start doing color. You know, not a
Bill Russell.
Not Bill Russell.
Raftery.
No, not Raftery. Oh, I lost the name. It doesn't matter.
Bill.
Not Bill. But anyway, there's several choices to go with it. Bill Raftery is a whole nother. Basketball
again,
play-by-play is for the high.
Again, some people.
We're not even including hockey guys, man. Just wait.
To go. Lewis has been awesome. Let's it go. He ties it at 62. 2 seconds to go. Lavender, three-quarter court. And we're going to overtime.
Oh, I think Gus Johnson's might become my favorite on this, actually.
We're going to overtime.
Again, it's because Joe Buck, people were sending him sex tapes to narrate for his play-by-play. So who's the best? 69306. Let's see. Who else we got? Someone says Romo would be able to predict the next move. Detailed play-by-play.
Oh, predict.
He'd be predicting what's coming up next. Oh, is he going? Is he moving
see
to
that
the
left-hand move?
Is he moving to the shower? Yep, they're headed to the shower as we predicted. Morgan Freeman.
That's just too bleak.
That's
It's like art noir.
Someone. Oh, that's some of these I can't. There's one I can't read, although it's good.
Okay, well, I'll hit up the text line so we can at least enjoy
69306. Continue to send those in. I'm loving a couple of these submissions. Kevin Harlan. Kevin Harlan's great when the cat ran on the
field.
Hey,
he has done.
Kevin Harlan's fantastic when other unexpected things happen. He's very descriptive. I mean, if you want the descriptive play-by-play, there's Kevin Harlan for you. You're going to get every detail.
It's the, that's the thing. Like, he's done both the streaker, remember? He did the live play-by-play of a streaker. He did the live play-by-play of the cat. He's definitely good for that. Harlan would be very good.
Like Al Michaels, narrating your dating life, and he's like, "Do you believe in miracles?"
It feels like Michaels would have to be like he would be like the lead up to marriage, like everything that like the story of your life, the story of your sex life leading up to marriage. He's no good as like an individual. Like he needs more of a storyteller. You need a longer form story in that end.
A couple people saying Jim Ross from wrestling, Jim Ross, because everybody uses his voice to.
That is a whole other level of intensity you've got to have. You got to be there. You got to be at a 9 at the very least if you're bringing in Jim Ross.
No question about that. Appreciate those submissions as well. Did you see, I mean, there's really no easy way to transition from talking about sex tapes and who's narrating them, but the UCF athletic director, I just laughed at this. He believes that the government, federal or state, should provide help financially to athletic departments in this time. Seriously? I had to make sure today on April 1st, by the way, it was not an April Fool's joke. Danny White's the AD at UCF. He wants athletic departments to get federal or state help to help these athletic departments that are not for profit,
tough
that
living,
get millions of dollars in donations, that they need financial help from the government. Get out of here.
No, they're insane. And you know that this is the way the sports work. It's the same as, like, I didn't feel bad yesterday when they announced the big wigs at the NCAA were taking 20% pay cuts during this time. It meant Mark Emmert's salary went from $3.8 million to $3.2 million. He'll be fine. The universities will be fine. UCF is stupid for even suggesting that. There were actual people in real need who need the money, not athletic departments.
Nobody's feeling sorry for UCF or any athletic department if they're going to have some struggles financially whatsoever. That's just ridiculous. You know how far
they're
down the
pay their
you
athletes.
Know, you know how far down
their entire
down the,
revenue stream comes from free labor. I'm out.
Do you know how far? Sorry, I'm laughing at another text. Do you know how far down the list UCF or any of these college programs are as far as if you're trying to find who needs the most help? They are way
out of 199.
Yeah, probably like 190.
Yeah.
Way down the list. Coming up next, let's talk some Royals baseball. Our Royals insider, Josh Furnier, stops by.
Ha-ha! College basketball!
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
All right, we're back at it here on Cody in Gold. Coming up in 10 minutes, the quarantine list of the day and what the K-State athletic director had to say about Kirk Herbstreit's thoughts on the likelihood of a college football season in 2020. Let's go right out to the 610 hotline, talk some Royals baseball with our Royals insider, brought to you by Unlimited RV. Of course, it's Josh Ferner. You can hear him Thursday night, 6 o'clock on the Royals Hot Stove. Vern, last week we asked you about the Tiger King. You were trying to figure out, should you watch some episodes without your wife and all that. Have you finished Tiger King?
Yeah, we finished it. She had a few days off in a row and knocked that out. I finished Ozark, so I am quarantining with the best of them.
I say Ozark, I binge-watched that 7 episodes last Friday. That's one of my favorite shows that are out there. In fact, that's probably going to be on the old quarantine list. So Tiger King, who's the craziest person on the show to you, other than maybe Joe Exotic?
I mean, there are just a handful of people. but I would say any human being that allows someone else to tattoo, I don't care how much mess you've been given, but if you're going to tattoo that my private parts are privately owned by my husband, my wife, by anybody other than you, that takes the cake in my book.
So what is the, there's a number for everybody, Vern. What is the number for you to put privately owned by Katie right there on the pelvis?
surprisingly low.
Right now you might do it for like $5,000, who knows?
Yeah, hey, whatever, man, it's a rough time.
We were looking at minor leaguers, speaking of payment, I guess, as we switch a little bit here, but minor leaguers are finally going to get paid across the board, Vern. It's not very much money, it's $400 a week, but for some guys that's actually maybe a little bit more than they make at the lower levels. I was actually talking to a guy who played A-ball last year who made about $1,100 a month. So it's a raise for them, it's a reduction for the guys at the top, but overall, is this an okay deal for baseball to keep things going for the minor leaguers as we await, you know, what's going to happen further down the road?
Yeah, without question. I like everyone listening, am always going to side with the employee. More times than not, I'm always going to side with the employee over the billion-dollar company, right? Baseball, although it's not what it once was, it still brought in record amounts of cash last year, well over $10 billion, breaking another record for revenue. So, yes, any time that makes its way to those that very easily could just have the door close on them by said billion-dollar corporation. Yeah, whatever those guys are paid for at least another month plus, that's nothing but a good thing.
We're talking with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, brought to you by Unlimited RV. And if and when we get a baseball season here in 2020, how do you think baseball should get creative when it comes to the doubleheaders? We asked you, I think, you know, last week, are you okay with 7-inning doubleheaders? But also, what about just extra innings as a whole? Games ending in a tie, that's been thrown out there a little bit by a former big leaguer, whether or not he'd be for games ending in a tie. Do you put runners in scoring positions come the start of extra innings like we've seen in some independent minor league systems? How would you get creative if you're baseball to ensure you can get the most amount of games in there, but also maybe not have these extra innings?
Well, to be honest, my first edict would be I'm not trying to force as many games as I can, because I think that just lends itself to a lesser product and the entertainment value is diminished because it's easier to consume because it's on every moment of every day. But if we move forward agreeing that both the union and the ownership, as of now, their main focus will be play as many games as possible. If we move forward agreeing that they're going to try and force 100 to 120 games,
right,
if at all possible, I'm all for 7-inning games. I'm all for the moment you go to extra innings, the team gets a runner on second to start the inning. I think it would be a good idea to start the season with the All-Star game, because you have to imagine whenever baseball returns, possibly the NBA postseason could, or football will be ramping up at that time. So you're going to need to punch the sports fan in the face with something more than just opening day. If you can give them an all-star game, a day break, and then opening day, I think you dominate that sports landscape in that first very important week as everyone tries to dance for that entertainment dollar and those entertainment eyes on television. Outside of that, I guess you can get more creative with the postseason. You can add extra teams. But that, to me, lends itself to having a shorter season where it's more difficult to dictate the ultimate champion of the regular season like 162 ultimately does.
When you're – no, I agree. Like, shortening the games obviously makes sense. I was trying to think if there was something outside the box, Vern. You and I have talked a lot about baseball just over the years and the different ways that they can improve it. Isn't this maybe just like the best chance to do something so far outside of normal baseball comfort? Like you mentioned extra innings and putting a guy at second. We've actually seen that somewhere. That's not doing anything. But if you said extra innings, home run derby, all right. I mean, you have my attention. Maybe, you know, is this baseball's best chance to just do something so far outside the norm? Is there an idea that maybe they're missing that they should be at least considering?
I think I cross that bridge when we acknowledge that, you know, 80 games can't even happen. When okay. We're looking at a fake regular season where you can't even present 65 games as a regular season, once we get there, if baseball can admit that we're not going to have a true champion this year, if we can do that, if we get to a point where we can acknowledge there will not be a true champion that falls in line with the 2015 Royals, teams that we look at and say, that was a world champion of a true Major League Baseball season. When we get to that spot where we admit the World Series isn't going to be what it normally is, then I think you can get creative. But if they're going to try and present it as if this champion is just as authentic as the 85 Royals, that's when I think you need to ease up on the creativity.
Of course baseball's going to do that, though. Right, Vern? Like, of course that's how they're going to try to treat it, like a 70-game champion, like it's equally as legitimate as everyone. They're not even trying to pretend like the Astros are less legitimate.
Yeah, I hope not. If they can admit that this champion, it's not going to be the World Series champion, some sort of a, I don't know if it's a round robin. I don't know what baseball would take it to, especially if they have to play in Florida or Arizona a majority of the games, if it's just a television product. Give it some sort of different naming, sell the rights to some billion-dollar company, rake in your money that way if you can, but don't present it to me like it's the World Series.
Vern, we know starting tomorrow night here on 610 and the Royals Radio Network, the Royals are going to re-air some classic games. The World Series Game 5 clincher will be tomorrow at 7, right after your Hot Stove show. Everybody probably has asked you over and over, you know, like, what's your favorite game? Do you have a least favorite game you've actually covered since you've been been the Royals insider? Is there one that stands out where it was just maybe a miserable game?
September 2nd, 2017.
God, you were so quick.
Royals are down 4 after 1. They're down 10 after 2 innings. Down 13 after 4, and they ultimately lose the game 17-0. Odelky Garcia with the start. He gave up 4. I think Andres Machado was in there. Skoglund gave up some runs. Trevor Cahill gave up some runs. Just the worst game I've ever sat through in my entire life.
Just miserable.
That was quick, so maybe you have been asked that before. Man.
I'm ready for it. I mean, I feel so bad for Odelky Garcia, but whenever people go the what's the worst game, his name's so easy to remember.
It's at least on your other end. Last thing for me, Vern, and then we can probably let you get out of here pretty quick. Or I don't know. I mean, you're not doing anything, I guess.
Yeah, you just want to hang around? Sure.
I guess we could just keep you all day. You'd probably keep answering questions. But the three of us are trying to figure out ways that we can compete virtually. You know, we're trying not to hang out too much, obviously, for the social distancing stuff. But we feel like we still need some level of competition. Any suggestions for what the three of us might be able to compete in virtually? Beer pong's already on the table. I'm trying to talk these guys into some sort of board game. Apparently, they're anti all of them. Anything else we can compete in online?
Mm. Man, oh man, and video games, is that happening? I mean, Serta's not really a sports video game kind of guy. But
I mean, I have a super, a regular, and some other stuff.
I got the Xbox.
So we could do some old school video games. We could ship it between everyone's house.
Push-up contest, like physical activity contest on FaceTime or that any one of those group chat apps.
I do like some sort of physical contest.
Yeah, Cody does.
One.
This guy, Vern, he won the combine, so he's very confident now, here.
I'll crush any physical contest. I've been working out.
Well, I see Serta's been working out. They're coming for the crown, so let's start putting it on the line.
Vern, what do you got coming up tomorrow night on Hot Stove?
We'll talk a little bit about the first game, the first Royals Classic broadcast tomorrow night. At 7 o'clock, that game five. So we'll have Mike Gersley on. Ryan LaFever's going to stop by. Memories of that game. Memories of that run. And then I also want to discuss the worst possible scenario: the we lose this entire baseball season, and just how much that'll ultimately hurt the Royals organization moving forward.
Josh Vern, you're our Royals insider. You can catch him tomorrow on The Hot Stove, 6 o'clock, brought to you by Unlimited RV. Thanks, Vern.
Thank you.
Appreciate Vern, as always. He got some ideas, so he's saying push-up challenge. Yeah, that's
I mean, one thing physical is okay.
I'll concede defeat.
You guys keep shooting down everything. We're shooting down board games.
Virtual beer pong. I'll do the board game. I just think it could last for 5 hours.
No, we could just do Uno or something.
Fine. Uno it is.
The only problem is that we'd all have to have our own individual deck, I guess.
And how would you know that the cards haven't been, like,
how do I know you're not cheating? I'd need the deck in front of me. We need to have each our own deck.
Even with the virtual beer pong, there's some logistical issues. Because how am I?
All have our own cups.
Yeah, but how are you getting on a video? How are you doing the video of it?
I'm just putting it on a tripod or just standing.
Yeah, not all of us have tripods.
You could just lean it against something.
Okay.
You can make that work. All Your right. sister can help you shoot it.
Make my sister videotape the entire beer pong.
What's she doing?
Virtual beer.
She's stuck in quarantine. It's fine.
Well, yeah, I can't be near here until the quarantine's
done. Well, that'll be up, and then, you know.
Again, for those wondering, she's quarantined only because she was out of town. She's not sick or anything. Being very precautionary, come Sunday, that will not be the case. Thinking of the quarantine, yesterday you gave us your top five HBO Go shows. So let's do the top five Netflix shows for the quarantine. I'm going with Timeliness. There's some other shows that I think are better, but things that are, I think, this time specifically popular. I didn't want to put, like, Breaking Bad on here, for example. I love that show. It's one of my favorite shows of all time. But that didn't make my list. Just to give you an idea.
Okay.
These are a little bit more recent. I tried to keep it recent for the most part. But my top five Netflix shows. Number one, or any order, but number one, Tiger King. I mean, we've been talking about this a great deal. This is one of those must-watch shows right now. It's the number one trending show on Netflix. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Binge-watch worthy all the way around. You can't just watch at one episode. This show literally has everything. I don't need to spend too much talking about this show. We've done enough of it. You guys know you got to watch Tiger King. Number two, Narcos Mexico. So there was Narcos, now there's Narcos Mexico. I think Narcos Mexico is better than the original Narcos cast, and overall just the setting of it and where they are in Mexico now with the cartels. The new season just came out as well, but it's an easy one to catch up on overall. There's only a couple seasons, season two, I guess it is, of Mexico, and then I think there's, two or three seasons of the original Narcos going back when they were following Pablo Escobar and dealing with the cartels. It's one of the better shows I've watched in the last couple of years. Number three, I already talked this a little bit earlier in the week, Ozark. Season three came out over the weekend.
Yeah, you finished it in like a day.
So did Serta, yeah. I mean, I watched seven of the episodes on Friday night. It deals with a family in Cincinnati that are laundering money for the cartel and all the issues that arise from that, and they do move to the Ozarks, even though much of the movie is or show is not shot in the Lake of the Ozarks, but that's the idea behind it. Really, really good show. Jason Bateman's fantastic in it. Number four, Peaky Blinders. Have you seen Peaky Blinders? I think you would actually like Peaky Blinders quite a bit. And
it's good.
Five seasons of it overall, and essentially it's set back in, 1920 or so, basically after...
I like Cillian Murphy, but I've never watched that show.
You would really like it. It's about one of the more powerful gangs of the time, the Peaky
Thomas Shelby.
Yeah, Thomas Shelby's fantastic. Really good show as well. And then rounding out the list is You. And You is one of the – it's a weird show. It's a thriller. This guy essentially stalks women, but you feel bad for him.
Cool. You feel bad for him?
You got to watch the show. It sounds really creepy, and it is creepy. But you feel bad for this guy. He has a crush. He dates them like normal at first, but then he's actually stalking them. And, well, I don't want to spoil the rest, but there's now two seasons of this.
You know, the one thing, Serta, and I'm sure you'll have some questions about some things he's missed. Again, I will point out.
He becomes obsessed. He's the manager of a bookstore.
One thing that Netflix does really well is science fiction, and there is no science fiction on here.
Yeah, you do
no comedy.
You hate the OA. You hate
Never heard of it.
Lost in Space,
Never heard
Stranger
of it.
Things.
Oh, I like Stranger
Altered
Things.
Altered Carbon.
I love Stranger Things, one of my favorite shows. I forgot about that, actually, but I'm trying to do more recent things. I've already I finished Stranger Things, I feel like, 3 months ago. At least.
You're trying to give people newer things to watch, hypothetically?
Like, Tiger King just came out. The new season of Narcos Mexico came out in the last month. Ozark just came out last week. Peaky Blinders, that's a little bit older on the season. And then you came out within the last 2 or 3 months.
I just feel like you need a little variety. You could have done some, like, sci-fi or, like, sort of said some superhero
stuff.
This
is my list, man.
Maybe the Umbrella Academy, sort of?
This is my Netflix list.
Also, super underrated Netflix show.
So you don't like any
Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
These are all very good shows.
Wait, is that a sequel to like the Sabrina the Teenage Witch show?
There's a Sabrina comic book, and it's based off of the comic book. It's actually like pretty dark and kind of messed up. But it's like if, you know, growing up, if you enjoyed like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which is a comic book series, if you enjoyed the television show, you would love the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
That's a good suggestion. I appreciate it a little. I just think you need more variety in your list.
These are all really good shows.
I'm not saying
that. I like serious shows.
I know you do, but I'm saying if you're making a quarantine suggestion list for somebody else, it is a bit bleak on the outside.
I don't have to watch all five of these. Maybe these are pick one or two. You know, Tiger King is not dark and
maybe suggest Big Mouth.
I mean, it gets pretty dark.
It gets pretty dark.
Yeah, spoiler alert, I guess at the end it does.
Maybe suggest Big Mouth or some other, you know, or even just. You could have said Parks and Rec, and I wouldn't have fought you.
Yeah, but
too
that's
hard.
Been around for. That's not. No, I could. If I wanted to do a list based off of that, I would have said, "Oh, The Sopranos, Breaking Bad." I would have gone way back. Better Call Saul. Yeah, I'm not saying all time these are the best five Netflix shows. I'm talking about right now.
Okay.
There's a difference. Not my top five Netflix shows of all time. That's a whole different list.
It's fine. Right. Yeah, I mean, look, there most of go. These shows are good. I've never watched Narcos, so I can't speak about that.
So good.
I watched the first two seasons of Narcos. I don't think I watched the third season of the original one, and then I've seen the first season of Narcos Mexico. The first season was really good. Yeah, I just haven't gotten caught up.
I think the Mexico version of Narcos, the latest, is much better than even the original Narcos. So there you go. That's my list a little bit. We talked with Brett McMurphy earlier on in the show. We'll play some of that again for you, just what he had to say about college football. And multiple ADs, in fact, half of them, say they don't think college football is going to take place on time or happen here in the fall. Well, last week you had Kirk Herbstreit, who I consider like this ambassador really for college football, host of ESPN College Game Day. He said what last week that he doesn't think it's a good idea for college football or the NFL
Correct.
To take place. He said, I don't think you can, you want that burden on you if you're the, you know, if you're the commissioner, for example, and how can we have players in these locker rooms? Well, Kansas State athletic director Gene Taylor didn't like those comments, Cody. He criticized Kirk Herbstreit last week, who I just mentioned, made those comments saying he'd be shocked. And Gene Taylor said, quote, I appreciate Kirk becoming a medical doctor and telling us what we should or shouldn't do. I'm not ready to go there yet. That was on K-Man Sports over in Manhattan.
He didn't have to be a jerk about it.
He was ticked off, clearly.
Like, it's one thing to be like, look, we don't know enough information right now. We're still waiting. Oh, I'm glad he became a medical doctor and told us what to do. You're not a medical doctor either. Like, that's the part. Like, why was he a jerk about it?
I don't think in this climate, in the unknown and how unprecedented it is, nobody should be angry and overly criticizing someone for trying to be cautious. Like, that's what I don't get. Like, you may have your belief on whether or not it should start in August or where you think things are going to go. Nobody knows the answer to that, by the way. We can all speculate on that, give our opinion on that. But if you're trying to be cautious in voicing your opinion, you don't want to be a jerk about someone that disagrees with it, or if you like, someone shouldn't be that upset of someone mentioning it. And that's what you know. And I get it; he's got to, in his mind, protect his interests. But you just don't have to be a jerk.
I'm a little surprised we're still there on this, because this is the exact reaction we've seen from a lot of people in the early going when some of these leagues were canceling. You go back, So when that first started happening, that Thursday, Friday, Golden were like, hey, they're canceling things. More things are canceling. People are like, they're overreacting. Sure. They're being – and we still see some of that attitude. I've still seen plenty of that attitude surfacing around some of the coronavirus stuff. And I'm always a little bit surprised that this still seems to be the attitude in some regard. And to me, that's what Gene Taylor's doing. He's that guy. He's the like, oh, I'm sorry. He's a medical doctor. He could have just simply said, as a person who's supposed to be civilized under most circumstances, that's the entire job of an AD, by the way, to just play it cool for the most part. That's where Jeff Long's been screwed up in this entire David Beatty thing. Just play it cool is mostly your job as an AD. So you just stand up there and you say, look, we don't have all the information yet. I understand that, you know, Kurt's worried about this. We feel good about the situation we're in now. We're waiting for more advice from the medical doctors. We're going to follow the medical community. Like, that's it. Boom, solved it. You don't have to, like, go after Curb Herb Street just because he said it might not be safe if everyone's in a room together, because it might not be safe.
Yeah, I mean, the Herb Street thing got traction because it is Kirk Herb Street. We all understood that, but there's no – Kirk Herb Street is not saying, like, this has to happen or I know this is the right scenario. He just said, yeah, I think it should be postponed, or, you know, it should be pushed back, essentially.
Doesn't seem wrong to me.
Gene Taylor, a little upset about that. Let's get to last minute.
Last minute.
From Jim Wyatt, it's a report for the Tennessee Titans. It says general manager John Robinson confirmed that the team has been in contact with agents for free agents Logan Ryan and Jadeveon Clowney. And then just a couple of minutes ago, Diana Russini reporting, I'm told by several sources the asking price has been moved off $20 million. And it's closer to $17 to $18 million for Jadeveon Clowney. The Titans and Seahawks are interested.
So again, he's back to that original number. But again, those are two actual competitive NFL teams versus maybe what Miami had offered.
Right. There was a report that the Dolphins had offered him $17 million a year. He turned it down. But we know, yeah, he wants to be on a team that has a chance to win a Super Bowl. I'll say this, though. If that number is still $17 or $18 million and there's that interest, then, Cody, you know, we were having a discussion about Clowney in Kansas City. And you're not getting a 1 year deal done with Clowney if that's really where he's set at. If the market is still possibly at $17 million on multiple years, there's no way you're going to get Clowney then. If you're Kansas City,
not unless you're moving a lot.
The Clowney thing would have to be on a 1 year like $10 to $12 million max.
Yeah, but you know the Titans do need to make a move. They have not gotten better. They've just stayed the same. It stayed the same as Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, not the Chiefs staying the same with Patrick Mahomes. Like, so the Titans right now, a team that, you know, we might talk about being in the AFC title game, they seem like a heavy favorite for a regression, unless you're counting on, Ryan Tannehill performing at the same level he did at the back half of last season, which seems awfully optimistic. That's a team that probably could use a guy like Logan Ryan or Jadeveon Clowney because they just need to get better.
Yeah, the Logan Ryan part. A little interesting because that's the name we've mentioned here in Kansas City. Logan Ryan reportedly willing to sign a one-year deal, but could he just go right back to Tennessee? And that would take another option off the board. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, details coming out about that Beatty and University of Kansas lawsuit involving their former head coach David Beatty and why this looks horrendous for the University of Kansas. And what did Brett McMurphy have to say about the likelihood of college football actually happening?
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.